and welcome to the Raptor Show powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Liu, joined by producer and co-host Alex Wong. Alex, we finally get to be in here after a Raptors win. The vibe is totally different.
Oh, we're in here after a two-game win streak. The city is fire right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Leafs lost, the Argos lost, but we know this is a basketball town.
This man said the Argos lost.
Listen, man, you know, any championship, I'll take any championship in the city. Right?
Fair enough.
But Toronto Raptors erased the memories of their opening night loss against the Wizards yesterday with a second straight win. Also a second straight win against the Wizards this season, 102-90. So it turns out when you sub in Pascal Siakam and you sub out a Lupe Fiasco halftime performance, that is the difference. So they're now 2-2 on this seven-game homestand, 11-13 on the season. If you want to set short-term goals, they've got the OKC Thunder on Wednesday.
Yep.
Opening spread is -72.5.
Yep.
And the New York Knicks are in town on Friday. If they win both, they will be at 500 heading into next weekend. So that is our new goal right now.
Yeah, and I totally expect the Raptors to get to that point because the Knicks are sliding. They benched Kemba. They really banished Kemba like he was Goran Dragic. That was really tough to see.
Kemba hasn't been the same since Nick Nurse played him 44 minutes at the 2020 All-Star game.
That's right.
So
I don't know if the YouTube audience, by the way, welcome to the YouTube audience. Thanks for following. I know a lot of people have been asking for it, so we've delivered. Not you and me personally. We haven't done anything for this, but, you know, we are going to take credit. But on the YouTube audience, if you can see this man right here, that's the reason why Kemba is out of the rotation. Yeah, I mean, you know, I just feel bad for him. It was a homecoming for him.
Yeah.
He's from New York. New York's had this long history of great point guards. They finally get Kemba back, and there was a lot of excitement. And then, I don't know, it hasn't panned out.
No, it hasn't panned out. But what did pan out was the Toronto Raptors with a balanced attack yesterday and a strong defensive performance. We're going to get to all of that. But I think we should start with Pascal Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
31 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. You did tell me before the start of yesterday's game that Pascal is going for 40.
Yep.
He has just generally looked comfortable against this Wizards team. And I mean, if you look at the roster, who's really able to handle Pascal on the perimeter? His best performance of the season, he got to the free throw line. He was good in the mid-range, got to the basket. I mean, I want to see more of this from Pascal going forward.
Yeah, I would love to see more of this from Pascal going forward. And I think it was interesting to me because, you know, since Pascal's come back from injury, it's felt like he's trying to settle himself within the team. So he hasn't really taken over or dominated the ball, which would be his right in the sense that, you know, he is a very capable player. He's a very accomplished player. But he hasn't really taken that approach. Instead, he's sort of come in, been comfortable as the second option. His efficiency has been strong. He's been hitting the mid-range, hitting from three, but he's not dominating the ball. I thought this game was the first game since he's come back where he said, I'm the first option. As I said in the podcast, I'm the lethal weapon, okay? Just like you said in last week's show. And they just kept going back to him. And you're absolutely right. The Wizards don't have a guy to play defense on Pascal. It's been that way for a couple of years because Pascal 2 years ago set his career high 44 against the Wizards. Last year, he matched that career high 44 against the Wizards. And this game, it wasn't 44, but first half, he had 24. He was cooking them. And again, you look at the options they have. It's Kyle Kuzma, whose nickname is Kyle Puzma. Okay. And then there's a guy.
Why are you doing this?
There's a guy named Denny Advia coming off the bench, and his name's literally Denny's, man. He was feasting on him like breakfast. So, yeah, it was easy for Pascal last night. He could have gone to 40 if he really wanted to, but the Raptors were really in control the second half. And I just love watching that because, look, I think for me, I don't want Pascal as like the clear cut number one option. Every game you go through him and play everything through him and stuff like that. I think even when he's fully healthy and ready, I don't like feel the most confident in that approach, because we have seen some limitations in that front. But what I like to see from the Raptors is a balanced attack in terms of who has the advantage that night, go through that guy. You know, we've seen Fred definitely at various points this season being the number one guy. We've seen OG at times this season being the number one guy. You know, MSG, that was a great game for him against the Knicks. 36 points. You know, and I think Pascal will have some advantages there too, and especially with teams that don't have a great one-on-one defender, especially in the forward spot. Pascal's able to shoot over the top of a lot of these guys, get to wherever he wants. I think the mid-range game is really clicking for him right now. He looks really comfortable in that area. And, you know, against a team like the Wizards, who, you know, Nick mentioned this, Pascal did a really good job of sensing where the defense was coming from. There's a help defender usually coming towards him if you're the primary option. And the thing is, you need to be aware at all times as to where the help's going to come from, and either you're going to beat that by spinning away from the help or at least going quicker before the help gets to you, or when the help comes to you, you have to make the right pass. And I thought Pascal did both things really well last night. To be honest, it wasn't a lot of help from the Wizards, maybe a little bit at the basket, but Pascal was just cooking them all night, and it's great to see. I think it's a nice reminder, and you know, I don't know if you have this in the rundown, but did you know the secret to Pascal's success last night?
Yeah, I have everything in the rundown.
Okay.
Super producer of the Raptor Show.
Damn.
With Will Liu.
Award-winning.
Award-winning, Pulitzer Prize, cover story, in stores now.
Definitely. Everybody, how do we not have a copy of that on the table?
Grab a copy for your holidays. Pascal Siakam said after the game that he gave all the credit to his niece. He said it was the first time on Saturday, this weekend, that he saw his niece. And apparently she peed on him. This is just Pascal Siakam's words. And
by the way, the niece is 2 months old.
The niece is two months old.
Key detail.
And he called it the Fred Jr. effect. So there's your humble hustle. You know, Pascal had his best game of the season and gave credit. This is me. You know, when I have a good show, I give all credit to the big man upstairs, Dan Toman.
Okay.
And the other big man upstairs, Greg Sansone.
Yeah.
Ryan Fabro. All right. That's enough of the org chart. So Pascal was great.
Why are you listing off the org chart?
I don't know, man. This is just me. So we got to get to your boy,
Chris Boucher. Oh, that's right.
As well.
Yes.
Chris Boucher with a strong performance off the bench yesterday. What did you see from Chris that you liked?
Yeah, I mean, I liked just how aggressive he was in going to the basket. Actually, the post-game interview with Chris, which I'm never a part of, by the way, just for obvious reasons. But the post-game interview with Chris was really revealing, and I really suggest people to go online and find it and listen to it, because he was very open, he was very candid, and he was very thoughtful in the sense that he talked about how, you know, he's been watching so much more film of late, and he's like, well, I've been mad sometimes I don't play, but then I watch the film, and I'm like, okay, I get why I'm not playing. Which I feel like for a lot of players wouldn't say that, right? But I think obviously with Chris, he's been struggling. He talked about also that he's been looking for the three-point shot too much, way too much. And for him, the three-point shot isn't dropping at all this season. I think he's still below 20%, right? So
hold on, he's still below 20?
When has he been above 20? Hold on. You know what? We are a fact-based show.
Only on Tuesdays with Blake Murphy. Tune in tomorrow. Actually, I was on NBA.com/stats today. Not to brag.
I'm on PBP.
Not to brag, but I got a couple stats in the second segment for you. You're not ready, man.
No, I'm ready because you told me about it. Yeah, Chris Boucher is at 18.5% from three. You know, so clearly that's not working for him. And, you know, he would come into the game, he would look for the three, he would take it, he would miss it, and he'd be like, oh, man, and he'd get down on himself. But the thing is with Chris, like, he's effective playing towards the basket. He's more effective going, you know, towards the basket off screen and roll, slipping those plays, or, you know, screening off ball and then slipping to the basket. Like, he has that in his game, and I don't think he's been using it to a great extent. So last night against the Wizards, I mean, he was really strong off the bench, carried their bench scoring. Honestly, was pretty good defensively as well, because, you know, Montrezl Harrell is a very tough cover, especially off the bench. And he did a pretty good job of keeping Montrez quiet. And, I think really what stood out to me was a two-man game between him and Delano Banton. Delano just had a really nice game last night. And then he woke up in the morning, went straight back to Scotiabank for 11 a.m., came off the bench and had 30 for the 905 as they beat the Go-Go City Wizards, I want to say.
I'm pretty sure you butchered every single part of that name. But
that's fair.
It's
but,
fine.
Anyway, Delano was cooking last night and also tonight. But I thought Delano just found him for three or four nice sequences where Chris was back cutting or slipping to the basket or just rolling to the basket. And yeah, that's why I want to see Chris like continue to try to prioritize, like make the rim the priority, make the hustle plays the priority. And then if the threes come, then that's fine. But last night he only took one three. I'm sure he has more opportunities than that to just jack up a three. But I liked his approach a lot last night. And I also think that for him playing center, the more he plays center, the more productive he's going to be offensively. Because what we've seen this season is Chris's transition to playing more of a four kind of role, which means he's playing a lot more on the wing. He's not involved in the pick and roll as much because you're usually screening with the biggest guy on the floor, usually your non-shooter, and that's usually Kem. And so I think for Chris, when he is playing the five right now with Kem out, with knee swelling that just refuses to go away, he can be effective in that role, especially offensively. Now, the thing is you have to figure out how to cover for him defensively, because you need more guys to sort of make up that gap, because you know he can be exploited defensively at center. But the Raptors have done a really good job right now of stacking the team with like three or four 6'9" guys playing on the floor at once. So you can show a crowd, you can show help when your point guard is 6'9" like Nolan Banton.
Yeah, for sure. And Chris Boucher after the game gave credit to longtime Raptors trainer Ray Chow.
Yep.
Shout outs, Asian Heritage Month coming in May.
Every month on the show.
Yeah, he said Ray actually put him on a new routine of pregame meditation to clear his head.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of NBA players have done this. I know Jamal Murray has been one of the more outspoken guys about that. Malcolm Brogdon has talked about this as well. Mm-hmm. And Chris, after the game, he said, quote, Ray just felt like there was so much going on in my mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was the thing to clear him up. And listen, like, for all the criticism that we've given Chris, and, you know, rightfully so, I think, because he's struggled so much in this first quarter of the season, you know, I do think, you know, it's important to keep these things in mind, right? Like, when these players are struggling, they're obviously going through a lot, you know, dealing with the criticism, dealing with the pressures of being an NBA player. So I really do genuinely hope this can get Chris on the right track, because Chris Boucher being a contributor off the bench changes a lot of things for this Raptors team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's the guy with the most upside coming off the bench. I think in terms of most consistent, that would probably be Yuta. You know exactly what he's going to do. And I thought last night he did a really good job covering Davis Bertans, who, by the way, you just kept saying from the booth, you're like, he's trash. Can't believe he makes OG money. He
makes
trash.
OG money. Think about the players that make OG money in this league. There's Luke Kennard, makes OG type money.
Uh-huh.
Davis Bertans. And you told me you would rather have Svi than Bertans.
I would, yeah.
Yeah.
Bertans is very one-dimensional.
This guy's not even starting on this team.
He shouldn't start. He was 1-7 last night.
Playing as much as Isaiah Todd. Can we talk about all these Isaiahs in the league with two first names? We got Isaiah Joe, Isaiah Todd.
Yeah, keep going.
Where's, you know, Isaiah John?
This guy's just making up names now.
I don't know, man.
Isaiah Steve.
I don't have his number. But, yeah, I think Chris, and we'll talk a little bit more about the overall bench contributions in the second segment. And shouts to the YouTube audience as well. I know you guys have a lot of questions and stuff. We'll try to get to them and stuff.
No promises. You know,
we do pack the show with a lot of content, but I'm sure we can find we'll find a rhythm with it, most definitely. So appreciate it. Someone wanted to know my go-to bubble tea order. That would be a taro smoothie. Yeah, so.
A taro smoothie?
Yeah, what about you?
Lychee green tea. I like grass jelly. Yeah.
And most of the comments are just Will's head is massive.
Yep.
How did you fit into this hat?
It's squeezing into
a pair of shoes. You need like one of those things where you have to like clip your head open.
I need a shoe horn for my head.
You need a head horn. You need a head horn.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I'm so happy we're back on YouTube, man. This is great. I love being roasted. This is great, man. Thanks for sticking with us. Obviously, it took us a while to get on, but I think everybody is really excited to see us on the YouTube
platform. Yeah, for sure. I'm watching myself right now.
So, okay, all right. As usual, to be honest.
A couple of other things from last night. So this was the 8th annual Giants of Africa night. I believe Adam Silver and Mark Tatum, if they weren't at the game, they were definitely in the city.
Oh, they were at the game.
Yeah, they were at the game.
They were at the game.
Which explains why Precious Achiuwa was called for a foul 1 second into the game yesterday from the opening tip.
Who calls a foul on the jump ball for the opening tip? Yo, who cares? Who cares? Every team's going to get the ball twice in the four quarters. Who cares who wins the jump ball? And you're going to call a foul on that, man. Again, like these referees got like too much to do. Like, please take a break.
Yeah, it was also Japan Day yesterday. Raptors,
yes, it was.
Japan Day. Shout outs to my guy, Tiru Ikeda, who we had on the Saturday Raptor show. He conducted a Q&A with Yuta Watanabe after. I know you snuck downstairs. You did your reaction podcast, and then you were able to take part or at least watch part of the Q&A. I think Tiru was telling me there was about 400 Japanese fans in the building yesterday. We also saw, obviously, an increase in Japanese media that was at the game yesterday. They were actually sitting right below us in the 600s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure they're familiar with you, Will, but, they saw the real William Son yesterday.
Nah, they thought it was William Son, but turns out it was Roll Son. in the back room at Roll Son, because it was that loud.
Anything to take away from that post-game Q&A?
Not too much. I thought, you know, Yuta was very gracious, you know, came through, said happy birthday to a few people in the crowd, and they seemed overjoyed. It was very polite. I think, for him, it's just really cool to know that the Raptors fan base is super diverse, and there's, you know, like, the Raptors, this is not the first time they've done like a nationality-based night. Like they'll have Slovenia night and they'll have like a huge crowds. You know, and like Slovenia is a very small country, right? But when Luka comes through and stuff like that, like there will be tons of people there, and maybe Goran will be there as well. Who knows? But yeah, it was a nice event. I thought, you know, Yuta was very gracious with his time, and clearly he has a huge fan base, and that's the thing. I think for the Japanese reporters who were there, you know, they were great. The only thing I felt bad for them, though, not just me yelling from the booth right above them, but it was mostly the fact that they had the media voucher and they spent it on this arena sushi. And really, at first, I was like, damn, this can't be what they're treated to here. Is the really cold refrigerated sushi that is not worth it for me. But, you know, they did go 12 for 12. So they must have been hungry in terms of the pieces.
Yeah, I think this is a good segue.
This is the stats you come for. This is what happens when I go to the arena. I'll give you stats on how many pieces of sushi.
It's a good segue to... segue into what kind of spread I had yesterday.
Oh yeah, you were just
at the game.
No, you were in the bag.
Yeah, I was in the wrong bag though. So I had two. So I used my $25 voucher. I had another $25 voucher from another day.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm being banned from the arena by MLS.
No. You're just stacking them up. That's
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's an immigrant mentality.
Is it?
So,
is not it. This is not it, by the way. But go ahead, man. List off your stats from last night.
Yeah, I had a kale salad. From Freshy.
Yep.
I had one piece of salmon nigiri from Ito Sushi.
Which was $6, by the way, you told me. Opened it up and you were like, this is the whole thing. The box was like big enough to fit like 12 pieces.
They said, I hope you're hungry nothing.
And then they gave you one piece.
Yeah, sushi burrito. You gave me a doubles from Leela's.
Yep.
I had Mars chocolate bites, two slices of pizza. Fisherman's Friend cherry flavor from you, one Diet Coke, one Earl Grey tea, one water. And to work it all off, I walked the stairs from the 600s down to the 100s at halftime. I walked back down and up three times.
I'm the lethal weapon. I do not finish second.
I finished second yesterday
stairs. You finished first, man. You're living life. Give me your three stars from the spread you had here.
My three stars are number one, the water. Number two,
number one,
the Earl Grey tea. And number three, the Diet Coke. I do think... I am hopeful that the Raptors...
This guy has a liquid bias.
Yeah, I'm hopeful the Raptors will get back in this playoff picture and play better, obviously, this month. But, you know, if they are struggling in February and March, we might just got to start reviewing food at the arena.
I was going to say, actually. So first off, no more of the struggling talk. The Raptors are back, you know, obviously beating the defending NBA champions, okay, in Milwaukee. And, you know, beating... the former number one seed in the Wizards in the East. The propaganda is stretching too far here. None of that. But honestly, I actually would be pretty interested in ranking like just the top items to get in Scotiabank. Because sometimes you get to the arena and you only have like 12 minutes or whatever before the game starts. And you want to be there for, Light Up the North. You know that event, Light Up the North?
Yeah, when the arena just goes dark.
And then everyone has to put their cell phones out?
Yeah, but it's only half full because everyone's either late or obviously because of the new COVID protocols. We were commenting yesterday because you weren't at the Milwaukee Bucks game. And I know that there were listeners who called in to your reaction podcast and wanted to know what the crowd was like at the arena. We were talking yesterday. It's not a good crowd right now.
Yeah, I really want to see more from the crowd. I really do. And I'm not saying that, like, when they're losing, I need them to, like, be amazing. But at the same time, like, it you know what it is? The fourth quarter, the crowd is pretty decent. But, like...
Yeah, but that's, like, a front-runner mentality to me, right? Like you need to be cheering. Like, I want these opponents to come in here and really feel Scotiabank Arena, right? Because, like, people always give the Raptors the reputation of having one of the best home courts. Now, they haven't played well. They're 4-8 right now at home. But... you know, it's been a year and a half, 2 years almost removed from the last time they were home.
Yeah.
Want to feel that energy, but I think maybe just, you know, the type of crowd that is there and the type of fans that are there are changing.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, this is what I've always said.
Tickets have always been kind of expensive.
Yeah, but this is what I've always said about Jurassic Park as well. Like, I know we celebrate during the playoffs when there's those huge crowds outside. Mm. But it's also, on the other hand, Jurassic Park is all the diehard fans who've been priced out.
Damn.
Who have to watch outside, right? So
yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
I mean, it's part of living in Toronto. What are we gonna discuss now? Inflation? Yeah, so inflation's pretty bad of late.
I got 98
bag
in,
milk for Precious
micro,
Achiuwa. Pretty expensive
second
these days.
Second segment, bag milk. Coming
I can't even talk about bag milk right now.
No,
we gotta wait
allowed.
Till the break.
You're not allowed. Keep looking at the clock. No, just, yeah, no, I 98 in intro to microeconomics in university.
That's pretty good, man. Yeah. This guy could find the intersection of two lines. Good,
I know,
good for you, man.
I know demand and supply, man. Speaking
this
of demand.
Y equals MX plus B.
The most in-demand player in the NBA right now, Fred VanVleet.
Yeah?
Yeah. He had a light night last night.
He did. But you know what? His work was done after he yabba-dabba-dude.
We got to talk about that.
He yabba-dabba-did Daniel Gafford, because that was so nasty.
So describe,
the crowd was good for that, by the way.
Describe this play, please.
Okay, so he's got the mismatch against the center. The thing is, though, Gafford, pretty athletic, really good shot blocker. So Fred's got him on the perimeter. Gafford's staying close to him. Fred crosses it behind his back. Gafford turns his back because he realizes he had swiped and got nothing. He has got to get his momentum back. Then Fred crosses back over. Gafford's still lost in this loss. Fred drives downhill with that opening, gets downhill. Gafford bumps him. There's no foul call on the play. Maybe there should have been, because that would have been a better outcome for Gafford. But so he bumps him. Fred's unable to go for the layup. But because he got bumped, the ball got knocked out of his hands. He could reset. And then I think someone else came through, like KCP tried to swipe at the ball. Fred, in order to evade KCP, wrapped it around his back. And then realized that Gafford is like one step too far off of him, and then just pulled up from the elbow area and switched it. And I think just the anticipation of the crowd, I mean, we were just talking about the crowd, but on that play, the crowd was awesome in terms of just, even if you watch the clip back, it's just like the, like that kind of like anticipation, you know, it was incredible. It was probably the top highlight in basketball last night, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. Fred only played 33 minutes, second lowest minutes total this season, next to the win in Sacramento. And they've got 2 days off before they play on Wednesday.
And I don't think he was at the 905 game, because I was watching it, and they were having like Pascal was there, OG was there, Precious was there, Utah, Chris Boucher, like tons of guys, you know, the whole coaching staff. Dan Tolsman was there, you know, your guy.
I do really, like when the guys go and support.
I love
like it's actually
it.
Really like
it.
It's actually really sweet, like to see all these guys go and watch, you know, the Delano Bantons, the Isaac Bonga, and I love this for Delano too, like this little stretch where he's literally being a productive two-way player, like he's productive with the Raptors, and he's obviously super productive working on his game, getting the extended minutes with the 905. Like I've been saying, Delano Banton is the best two-way athlete since Shohei Ohtani.
Wow.
And I think he's proving me right.
Damn. What do you mean since? Shohei's still doing it?
Oh, yeah.
MVP?
Sorry.
Yeah. Even though Vladdy was robbed. Is this Sportsnet today?
Yeah, I don't know.
Want to talk about that?
Yeah. Do we have to
you
talk
fan
about...
fan of Kevin Gausman?
What? Yeah, yeah. I think it's a great signing. You know, I think if you look at Robbie Ray's advanced stats... No, man. Shai Davidi punching error.
Give me the spin, give me the spin rate on that.
Don't worry,
Shai.
Don't worry, Ben Nicholson Smith. You know, your jobs are definitely safe when we're talking about the Jays, man.
No, but seriously, though, going back to the 905 thing. Like, I was just watching it before coming to the studio, right? And not only that, they had like four guys on the roster who were down there. Maybe even five, actually. I might have miscounted. David Johnson was there. Malachi Flynn was down there. Malachi had a really slow first half, but came on strong in the third quarter. I mean, obviously, he was like an and one. It was a pull-up three. It was a four-point play. He was killing it. Who else was down there? Justin Champagne was down there. Bongo was down there. And Delano. That's five guys. So, you know what? I think it's great synergy. Obviously, when they play at Scotiabank, it's always really fun to see. And for people who maybe, you know, as you mentioned, have been priced out of the Raptors game, I'm not saying, like, you got to drive all the way to Mississauga. But at the same time, like, it's not a bad time. It really is. You can get a really close seat. You can get really, you know, down close to the players. And it's pretty fun sometimes.
No, for sure. And, you know, my nephews can attest, you know, before the pandemic.
You love talking about how you tricked your nephews.
I took my nephews to a quote-unquote Raptors game. And it was Raptors 905 at the Paramount Fine Food Center.
Yeah.
And I still remember Henry Ellenson getting introduced in the starting lineup.
Uh-huh.
And my nephew looking over to me and said, "Hey, where's Spicy P today?"
Yeah.
And I said, "It's all you're getting, man."
Nah, the only Spicy P you're getting is wasabis from the the concession stand, because what this is about.
All jokes aside, the 905 is really a cool, like a family experience.
It really is.
And an affordable price. So And if you've got guys like Malachi and Delano there, like, it's a good product.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, all right, I think that's a good spot for us to take a break. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you'll be listening to The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu. Continue to be joined by producer and co-host Alex Wong. Award-winning. Have you won any awards in your life, by the way?
No, not even. Did you not even from my own parents. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought best you were saying you're like the MVP of your team or something.
Best son.
One out of one.
Yeah, I'm a one of one. I think that's about it. Okay. I mean, my mom invites friends to sit in the car with her. Mm. I'm assuming they just sit in the driveway and listen to me from 2 to 3.
Absolutely.
So she'll message me on Tuesday and Wednesdays being like, no show for you today? Yeah. I'll be like, as long as that message is not coming from Dan Tolman, we good.
Nah, she sees Blake Murphy and she turns it off. No, I'm kidding.
Nah, shout out to Blake, man.
Catch Blake Tuesday, tomorrow.
Catch Blake Murphy on Tuesdays. You know my mom is on cleaningtheglass.com.
All the time,
looking
man.
Up the stats.
You know, like 60-year-old Chinese women looking up cleaning the glass all day.
Yeah.
That's right. They want to know what half court stats. They want to, you know what they want? They want to filter out garbage time possessions.
Because
that's the worst thing. When you're looking at the overall numbers, it's the garbage time. I don't care what happened when you know, no offense to some of these guys, but like Bonga's in the game. Like, yeah, filter that out.
Yeah. Shouts to the YouTube audience. You know, as I mentioned, we're going to try, you know, this is our first day doing the video simulcast as well. So we're definitely going to find a format where we're able to kind of directly address some of the questions that you have and things like that, get you involved. And one idea that you could get involved if you're watching right now is hit our voicemail, please. 416-413-4141. Throughout December, we're taking holiday gift ideas. You can leave a message and let us know what I should get for Will, what Will should get for me, what we should get for our producer, Derek. And also, if you have any
That's
gift
not
ideas...
That's how Secret Santa works, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm still figuring it out. I'm new to this holiday spirit. And we also want gift ideas for specific Raptors players. So again, 416-413-4141. We'll play some of these voicemails at the end of the month, and the best voicemail will get a gift from the Raptor Show. I mean, the Raptor Show is a gift every day.
Facts.
But, you know, we'll give you an additional gift.
Wow.
And also, you get 5 minutes to ask Will pre-approved questions, which I will screen. So, wow. Yeah.
Again, just handling me like state media, man.
Yeah, you know, this is, anyways.
Nah,
so,
I'm not making that joke. Go ahead.
On Open Gym last week,
yes.
Precious Achiuwa was featured. Uh-huh. And there was a segment that went viral of him discovering that milk are bagged here in Canada, bagged milk.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a new thing to him. And I thought I'd ask you, Will, since we're both immigrants as well, what were the things that stood out to you when you first moved to Canada?
Not even joking. And we talked about this before the show. And I know you're nervous, me saying this. Literally every single person I saw in China was Chinese. So any person who wasn't Chinese... was very new to me. I was like, oh my God.
No,
anyway, that's different. But.
No, I think that's completely fair. You know, I remember the first time going to ESL class or just going to school.
Yeah, yeah.
I was feeling nervous too the first time I was at school and they were taking attendance because I wasn't sure if my dad submitted my actual Chinese name or my chosen name, which is Alex, the chosen one.
You chose that?
Yeah, so the backstory is that I was playing Sega Genesis, a video game called Alex Kidd in Miracle World, which you can look up.
Yeah.
And my dad walked in and said, hey, we're moving to a new country and I'm filling out this form for school. Do you want to pick an English name? So the player, the main character of the video game, his name was Alex. So I just chose it.
Damn.
Yeah, so my name has absolutely no meaning. Yeah.
No,
but I'm with you.
You know,
the first things for me honestly was like first snowstorm. I remember like not being able my parents not being able to move the car out of the driveway cuz like we didn't even have a shovel, like we weren't ready for that.
Oh, that's cuz you're from Hong Kong. I mean, there's snow in northern China, man.
Yeah. That's what makes us different.
Yeah, that's right. I'm from the north.
Yeah, this guy's king of the north. And I guess the other thing was just learning new sports. Like, I had never watched baseball before. And this was when the Blue Jays were on their way to back-to-back World Series wins. And just learning the game of baseball was so weird to me. Yeah. Just, like, figuring out everything. So
forgot you were here in the 90s like that. Sorry, I didn't mean to say it so rudely, but yeah.
So, So the joke is, Will thinks I was there when the Toronto Huskies played the New York Knicks.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, for the first ever NBA game.
You actually throw out the ceremonial jump ball and yeah. call the foul on Precious Achiuwa.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm on color TV. You know, when I started out, we were on satellite, black and white.
Yeah.
But it's always cool to see just players come Toronto and discover these new things, because I feel like for the longest time, and maybe this still exists among some players, there's just all these negative perceptions about playing in Toronto, right? Of, things. It's like, what's the tax situation like? Oh, like, and I know they still have to go through customs, which is like a thing that players always complain about.
I don't know if you understand, but for players going through customs, it's very different for civilians going through customs. And I'm not even talking about people with nexus. I'm talking about like regular civilians. We're going on a flight to New York, like you're going... And leaving the show temporarily, I can't believe you're doing that to me. I got to run solo.
You'll barely notice, given my weekly work schedule.
To be honest, that's right. Actually, yeah. I'm like, oh, Alex is just not here Tuesday and Wednesday. That's normal. But yeah, like they literally just check a box on they're leaving the plane. That's it. Like it's very simple for them. They're not like waiting in line like that most times.
No, but athletes live. Different lives, right?
Oh, so, like, wow. You're right, man. They can't just check a box.
No, this is what I'm saying, though. Here. The inconveniences that
you're like, are you carrying $10,000 in cash? Yeah, probably.
Man, you
but
really.
I'm not going to check that. Anyway.
Man, you really got me defending million-dollar athletes over civilians
do.
Right
that's,
now.
That's not what we do. But no, going back to this clip of Precious, which, by the way, just a great episode idea from Open Gym. You know, shout out Jeff Rocky. You know, I'm sure he and the crew there had this idea to highlight Precious. Obviously, they were able to. Show a lot of the footage from when he played in Memphis, the 17 points in the third quarter. That's where he went to university or college, I guess, when they say in the States. But this bagged milk idea is such a brilliant thing, because for him, he was going to a local restaurant or local grocery store in Etobicoke. Looked like he went to, I think, the Sobeys up on Kipling. Went to the milk section, saw it. He's like, oh, that's what it is? Like, it's actually really funny to think about, because maybe, honestly, for me, I was like, bagged milk, I guess it's just kind of normal, but evidently, obviously, it's not. I mean, apparently, it's not even normal in, like, Western Canada, for example. They don't really have that there. They have cartons. Obviously, we have cartons as well. Anyway, it's not important. So he picks up the milk, he goes home, and then he's introduced to the entire bagged milk economy, because it's not just you just have bagged milk and then that you're done, right? Like, it's not as simple as you just crack the carton and you just pour the milk. You have to put in a milk jug, right? So, there was always the learning process in terms of how to fit the milk bag in the milk jug, because for some reason, it's not just like, it's not fitted. It's too fitted. It's like this hat on my head. You just got to squeeze it in. Got to squeeze the milk bag in there. But then, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but there's a milk bag cutter.
Oh, yeah?
It's like a little, straight blade in a little
mark. It's like a life hack?
I guess so. I mean, if you're in, Ontario long enough and you're always like, oh, I can't always find the scissors to open the milk, let me just invent a milk cutter. So he got the milk cutter, put that out there. The only thing for me for this whole video is that he was drinking 3.25% milk. That's I don't know.
I was gonna say that some.
What
I was gonna say that
milk. Do you drink?
2%. I was gonna say that someone's standard, that's cool. Someone's three point shooting percentage on the season.
Hey, come on.
We'll leave it.
That's not fair.
Yeah, no. This guy's saying that's not fair. We can go through a long list. Anyways, hey, I found another 3-on-3 tournament. By the way, so the Cynine Health Foundation actually hit me up last week and told me that they're teaming up with the Raptors for a 3-on-3 tournament.
Nice.
That's going to double as a fundraising event for their research institute. And this Raptors for Research tournament is going to take place on March 20th, 2022 at the Hangar, with the finals taking place at the OVO Athletic Center at a later date. If you want to participate, go to raptorsforresearch.com, follow them on Instagram and Twitter at Raptors Research. Participating teams are required to raise a minimum of $2,500 through fundraising efforts to support the Research Institute at Cynine Health. And event registration is open for players of all genders and skill levels, 19 years and up. 19 years and up. No upper age limit. So maybe 37-year-old me got to go into my grade 9 high school team captain bag.
Oh, you got to go into your mortgage bag.
Which mortgage? No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Just one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we should talk about this off air. Maybe we should participate in this. I think it's for a good cause as well. So raptorsforresearch.com.
No, this is a fantastic cause. When you said the Hangar, I was like, oh, that's already nice. And then you said OVO to go to the facility. I mean, damn, that's like a dream of mine. I mean, even though we're in there every day, and we're watching Isaac Bonga receive the Nick Nurse pill right in front of us. We're not the ones shooting.
I've played a media game there before at the Athletic Center.
Man. Yeah, so jealous.
Yeah, you don't want to see these media people play, man.
I do.
Except for the former players, like I mentioned.
Yeah.
Like if you've got, you know, if we got like Savannah Hamilton or Amy.
Savannah and Amy are my first two picks.
Why don't we recruit Savannah and Amy, and that's our whole team? Me, you, Savannah, and Amy for the 3-on-3.
The only issue is both of us are coaches.
The only issue is the only issue is all three of you are gonna have to work for Sportsnet that day. So I'm gonna have to just show up by myself.
That's all good, man. So you and Blake cleaning the glass.
Wow. We're actually gonna be cleaning the glass. So back to Raptors.
Yep.
So the defense has picked up recently. Went to NBA.com/stats.
Yeah, you teased us earlier.
This morning. Mm. So the Raptors are 20th. In defensive rating on the season. I narrowed it down to the last five games.
Yeah.
They're seventh in the last five games.
Okay.
I narrowed it down to the last three games. They're third in the last three games. I tried to narrow it down to the last game, and the website just went dead for me.
The website said, stop. No more. It's time to log off. If you're looking for the last one game defensive ratings.
They're like, please just do basic math yourself. But, okay, so they've obviously been ticking upwards on that end of the floor, and that was a huge concern that we've talked about over the past couple of weeks. Mind you, though, the last three games.
Yeah.
Okay. Caveat is they played Memphis without Ja Morant.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Well, didn't they just win by 73 points?
Sure. They played Milwaukee without Giannis.
Still a really good team.
A Washington team that we would say is a pretender. I'm not trying. Wow.
Pretenders when they play the Raptors. We already beat them twice.
Wow. I'm not trying to kind of, you know, be the negative person about this.
Not your role on the show.
That's not my role. I know my role, but like, I don't know. Things are looking good though, right? They're slowly getting back to, I think, the identity that we thought they would have coming into this season.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the real promising thing right now is that like they've had three straight games where they've kept the opponent under 100 points. Memphis scored 98. The Raptors just couldn't get their offense going that night. Milwaukee scored 93, and last night Washington with 90 points. So that's really rare in the modern NBA. I was actually a little surprised when you said the last three games the Raptors weren't even number one. But yeah, I think just getting back to their defense is the way this team is going to win. I think that I was really revealing whenever you ask any player about what happens in practice, they just respond like, all we do in practice is practice the defense. But that makes sense because Nick is a defensive coach, you know, and I think that the offense has been better than expected this season for sure. But I think defensively, that's where they've been disappointing. And we should continue to expect this team to be a very strong defensive club. Like, I think, obviously, holding teams to 90 points every night is too much to ask for any team in the modern NBA. But, like, this is a team that can make their money on defense. And if you're going to pull together a win streak, like, two games right now, really hyping up this two-game win streak. But, seriously, defense is a big part of that. And I think that the Raptors have that capability. I think Precious coming back has been really helpful in that front. He's really brought a physical presence in the middle of the lane. But the Raptors also just generally rotating really well. You know, Pascal, Scotty, and Precious, even though there's not a true seven-footer in that lineup, they've done pretty well in some of these matchups. I thought, you know, against Milwaukee, they effectively shut off the paint. Milwaukee, I think, shot 12-31 within 5 feet. And then last night, you know, Washington was a little better within 5 feet. But if you expand it out to, like, the within 10 feet of the rim, the Raptors held them to like 22 of like 48 shooting. And so the Raptors have been really much stronger on that front. Their rebounding is a little bit better. And, you know, obviously you need to see it more than three games or even seven games or anything like that. But I want to see this team finish top 10 in defense at the end of the season. And they have the personnel to do that, right? When you have, you know, all these interchangeable versatile forwards, it's really about getting your positioning right, getting your timing right, and then letting your length do the rest for you. Like I thought last night, the Raptors made a number of really good, smart decisions in terms of when to help, when not to help, right? Against Bradley Beal, obviously you help, but against, you know, Montrezl Harrell one-on-one in the post and you got Scottie Barnes guarding him, put your hand straight up in the air, let Montrezl try to finish over you, and he couldn't do it. And Scottie got like three or four stops that way. Same thing with, you know, Precious, same thing with Chris Boucher coming off the bench. So it's been really encouraging to see this happen, especially the fact that no OG and no Ken Burch, who are two of your most solid defenders that you would normally count on night to night, them not being available and the Raptors still being able to start getting stops is really encouraging to me. And they just have to keep going at it. And for them, it's a focus thing. It's a thing of a discipline and reps. And right now they're trending in the right direction. And again, I had to highlight this bobblehead that you gave me about Nick Nurse. You know, that's how Nick Nurse got on this truck in the first place at the championship parade, was because of the defense.
No, definitely. And I'm looking at the box score right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're really working the box score today, man. This is the first time I've seen you. Like, I didn't even know you knew where box scores were found.
Trying to let these YouTube people know I watch basketball once a week. No, the Raptors out-rebounded the Wizards. 47-43. And, you know, out-rebounded them on the offensive rebound column as well. And I think players like Montrezl Harrell in general have given the Raptors this roster problems. And
I think he's had like 10 offensive rebounds in the last two games against the Raptors.
Yeah, we've already seen it this year. And I like the things that you mentioned. You know, yesterday it did seem like they were just very sound defensively in terms of being in the right positions and making those shots at the basket difficult. And, I mean, the offense is generally been pretty good for this team.
Yeah.
And I also think about they're missing the best perimeter defender in the game right now in OG Anunoby.
Yep.
So when you add that to the mix and you see the way Pascal has been ticking up as well, and I think you saw some encouraging things too yesterday of Precious, Pascal, and Scotty playing together. Think about when you throw OG into the mix. We know what Fred can do. We know that Gary's been such a pleasant surprise on defense.
Mm-hmm.
We know Utah Watanabe can provide, right? We know Ken Burch, hopefully get well soon. You know, this right knee swelling has become almost like a week-to-week thing at this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know we keep saying this, but just let me see this full roster.
Yeah.
Let's see this full roster because the potential is right there for them to maybe make a run this month.
I mean, this is the month to do it, too. The schedule is fairly light this month. As already detailed on the show in previous episodes, like, they don't even take a flight longer than an hour until January 17th when they go to Miami, which is only like a two-hour flight.
Right. You know that game's going to be a 79-73. Why do the Raptors and Heat always play the worst regular season games?
Yeah, no, I really hate it. Well, it's because Nick...
It's because of Heat culture.
It's because Eric Spoelstra and Eric Nurse, they love playing zone defenses on each other.
Right.
And these two teams are both not really good at handling zones. I mean, it's always a tough physical affair. And obviously with Kyle, that'll be the first time the Raptors go to see Kyle before he comes back to see the Raptors in Toronto, which will be an incredible night. Hopefully the Raptors win.
No, for sure.
But, they can get their defense together like this. Like, I think the fact that you have those three guys in the front court, yes, there's no true seven-footer, but the fact that they're all so mobile, they're able to rotate, they're quick, they're able to switch out on the perimeter, which is going to limit some penetration at first. I think they've been doing a lot better job of what Nick calls curling the drive. So, like, and not just guys, like, driving straight downhill, so hard to stop them, making them, you know, take, like, a circuitous route downhill so that you have more time for the help to get there, more time for even the guy on the ball to catch up on the play when you're making them take a longer route to the basket. And you're seeing these small details start to come through, and I think the Raptors got to just, like, keep hammering it home that this is a thing that they need to stamp their identity in, is they need to be a good defensive club. There's no reason why they should be even 20th in defensive rating. They have the top 10 level of talent defensively.
No, for sure. And I'm just checking in on the YouTube feed.
You know,
we obviously just went on streaming live today, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. And the Sportsnet folks put together, they did a poll during the break.
Uh-huh.
They had people vote Team Alex or Team Lou.
Yeah.
You won 52-48. I'm surprised I got 48, actually. Going up against you, you're like the number one seed of Toronto Raptors media, man.
No, you know how it is when the Raptors are the number one seed. It's got to go to game seven.
Yeah. Please don't pit us against each other.
No, that's not what we do on the show, actually. I think we accounted for 100% of the votes, which is important for
me. Yeah, I'm Jeremy Castleberry.
You're not Jeremy Castleberry.
You're Kawhi Leonard.
People love, you know, listen.
Yeah,
man,
cover story in stores.
First of all, this is a trend that's happening now. So when we're at the arenas and stuff, I guess we're in a very visible spot.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're also in the same spot, too. We're in the, when you look up at the ceiling, you'll see at one point what's the section called?
What are you talking about? The 600s?
Yeah, the media section, but it says the and then something else.
Oh, I think it's just, I don't know. It's the media gondola.
Something Foster?
Yeah, Foster Hewitt. It's Foster the Foster Hewitt, Hewitt right, booth,
right.
I believe.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know history. You were here, though, in the 1960s.
Yeah, I was here when Tim Horton played. Yeah.
Yeah, not you drank the cup and you also drank the Kool-Aid with him as a player. But you can see us. We're like standing in the box right under the word the. And people keep taking photos of us, and they posted us to Reddit. And I checked out the thread because I'm like, oh,
wait, they posted us to Reddit?
Yeah, people are like, oh, yeah, you know, like, we're at the game, you know. And then, like, I was looking at the comments. I was like, oh, they're going to say nice things about me. This is going to be a great confidence boost in the morning. And all the replies are, he's the lethal weapon, or, like, you know, fireworks, or, you know, all your classics.
Okay, so the freestyles are, catching on.
Yeah.
No, I think that's what makes us great. Like, I think me and you are very different. You know, you watch basketball. I don't. You know, you write 10 things. I write 0 things. You show up Monday to Friday. I'm a Monday, Thursday, Friday type of guy.
Oh, come on. You do your Saturday show.
Yeah, Saturday show. Tune in. Weekend edition. Cover story in stores now. But yeah, no, I think, I just want to say I appreciate you every day, man. Every day I come into the studio, I'm like, man, what a treat I have today.
Okay, man.
You know, so many people in this city would love to be in this seat right next to William Liu. I'm going to start calling you William, by the way. Does anybody in your family or close friends, do they call you William?
Sometimes, yeah. Okay. I don't like it, though. It doesn't sound good rolling off the tongue. I didn't choose my name, by the way. Yeah. My parents watched Braveheart, and they were like, oh, that guy, you know, let's go. Let's
All
go
right.
with him. Yeah, let's name him after a symbol of Scottish independence, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I find out something new about you almost every day.
No, you find out Including something new about Asian parents every day on this show, because they're very strange, and we love highlighting how weird it is.
Including the fact that you look 12 when you wear a hat.
This is the first time you've ever seen me in a hat, and we've known each other for like 5 years.
No, it's heat. So last thing I wanted to touch on with the Raptors is that per Vivek Jacob, a guest on Wednesday's show.
Wow, Big V.
Big V of Raptors.com. Yesterday was the first time the Raptors bench produced at least 30 points in a win since October 22nd on the road against the Celtics, which would be the first win of the season for the Toronto Raptors. So I'm looking at the bench numbers. We touched on Chris Boucher, obviously. Utah Watanabe.
Mm.
I told you yesterday, we got to just always add Utah's points and rebounds. It usually adds up to 6. Usually a 3-3 or a 5-1.
Nah,
you know?
You know the big man loves to do those disgusting parlays.
Yeah. That's
just
the parlay.
Really, really bad. Like,
yeah,
that's, stacked it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Norman Powell total points parlayed with Utah Watanabe rebounds.
No, but Utah, you know, I think you got to look at Utah's, and I know plus minus isn't a perfect stat. You know, being someone who's really ingrained in the statistical community.
Right. It's not even on PCP stats.
Oh, okay. Yeah. PCP, what? So plus 16 in 17 minutes. I think the plus minus does always reflect Utah's contributions in a way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
In a way. And I don't know, man. Like, if they need this bench, and I know it sounds like a broken record, they need to get healthy, but, you know, the pieces are there.
Yeah.
Pieces are there. So, like...
Well, when they get healthy, you're going to knock a couple of these players out of the rotation. But honestly, for me, I know what I can get from Utah. I know what I can get from Ken Birch. And I think for me right now, I want at least like 2 or 3 guys off the bench that I know for sure what I'm going to get. They can set like the basis of what's going to happen. Ken's going to guard the rim, and Utah's going to guard a perimeter guy and be helpful on that front. You can rely on those two pieces. Then you slot in a starter, maybe even 2 with that group, and then you can just take on a chance with one of these guys. Let's see if Svi's got it going tonight. If he doesn't have it going, let's limit his minutes. Maybe there's a really quick small point guard out there. Let's toss Malachi Flynn in for 2 minutes and take him out, right?
Malachi
Flynn. You want some
length. Malachi Flynn is low-key the guy that's really on a minutes restriction.
Yeah, I know. Honestly, you hear more of DoorDash ads on this show than you do of Malachi Flynn in the game. But, you know, if you want to change the pace or you want to play bigger, you know, you put Delano out there. Like, it, you know, Chris can give you some production as well. Like, now Nick has some options. And now you don't have to burn out your starters as much. You know, like, this was also last night, you know, Fred playing 33 minutes. That's the second lightest workload of the year.
Yeah.
He played 31 in a blowout win over Sacramento. So the thing is, if you want to, like, have a comfortable win, if you want to have a game where you don't play your starters 40 minutes, you need your bench to come in there and do something for you. And I think the Raptors have really gotten a lot of good play out of some of these guys. Utah has been really big since coming back. And, you know, it's things are trending in the right direction. I think that they can really make up some ground here and get above 500. You know, we'll have Snyder Pods back because that's the rule for me. I'm too humble to have Snyder Pods when the Raptors are under 500.
No. I have a rule too. No tweeting, never underestimate the heart of a champion when they're below 500.
Yeah,
you can't celebrate those wins. But we're looking forward to the Raptors hopefully getting back to 500 this week. We got Blake Murphy and David Thorpe tomorrow on the show. Shouts to everybody who tuned in on YouTube today.
Obviously. How many times are we going to shout them out, man?
No, I just want to show love to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about a podcast audience? What about the terrestrial radio audience?
Shouts to our terrestrial radio audience. Please rate and review our show. We really do appreciate it. And I guess personally, I'll see you on Thursday, Will.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to miss you. That does it for today. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you've been listening to The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Make sure you find The Raptor Show wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, and please rate and review our show. Thanks again to producer and co-host Alex Wong, and we will talk to you tomorrow.